You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
This is a real simple verse, Luke 23:34. I'm just going to quote it if you want to write it down. It's about Jesus when he hung on the cross, and it's something I want to teach on here. We all know what he said on the cross. We all know what he did when they did their worst to him. On the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, that is a divine example for all of us to forgive. Everybody say forgiveness. I want to talk about forgiveness today because I think it is what a lot of life is about. It's about forgiveness. It's about forgiving people, forgiving hurts, forgiving offenses, forgiving what people do. Doesn't mean we don't acknowledge what they did. Doesn't mean there's not penalties for what people do. Doesn't mean we shouldn't put people in jail and should be trials and all those kinds of things. We have laws and must abide by those laws. It doesn't mean that you don't reap what you sow. Of course you do. You reap what you sow. But we as Christians are under a mandate from God and have an example in Jesus to forgive people. It doesn't mean we treat people the same after they've done things to us. Stay with me. But we do forgive them. We don't hold it against them. And if they do repent and turn around, yes, we would treat them differently the way we used to treat them before. I think people misunderstand forgiveness. They don't know what it means. They think forgiveness means that you have to feel something towards someone or that you would always treat someone the same way or deal with them the same way after they've sinned. That's not necessarily what forgiveness is. Here, Jesus forgave all these people that sinned against him. Some of these people went to hell. Hello. But Jesus forgave them. He didn't hold that in him against them. It didn't change their consequence. In other words, if they chose to not repent and stayed in sin and stayed in rebellion and continually hated God, they died and went to hell. But because he forgave, he left that open for them to receive restoration and forgiveness and go to heaven if they chose to do so. But he was never held, never bound by what they did to him. It never marked him. Are you with me? Other than the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet. It didn't mark him. It didn't make him and it didn't break him and it didn't shake him. He was still the same Jesus after the fact that he was before the fact. They didn't ruin him. Are you with me? They didn't destroy him because he forgave. And I think a lot of what forgiveness is about is not necessarily releasing or letting go what someone did to us, it's getting rid of what would like to get a hold of us if we don't forgive. In other words, it's continuing the pain. If you don't forgive, you're extending the life of something that happened to you. Somebody sinned against you. Somebody offended you. Somebody hurt you. Somebody did something that is unconscionable and wrong. And you only forgive what's wrong. We're not saying anything they did is right. We're not X-ing it out in the sense that it didn't happen. We're saying we're not going to hold on to that. We're not going to let that control us. We're not going to let that determine our destiny. We're not going to let that change us. We're not going to let that make us into something mean and ugly and bitter and hateful. We're going to let that go. We're going to kill that thing. We're not going to extend its life. We're not going to let it continue to grow, multiply, and live. I'm going to forgive that thing. Amen. Woohoo! Yeah. Are you out there? So forgiveness is just as much about us as it is about the one that offended us, about the one that sinned against us. Because I will not let that control me. I will not let that hate and that bitterness determine my destiny and make me into something that God didn't intend me to be. I'm going to let that go. I'm going to watch that person, but I'm not going to hate that person. No, I'm not going to deal with them the same. I mean, obviously, in life, people do things wrong. They continue to do things wrong. You have to back away. The Bible's very plain about who we fellowship with and who we don't fellowship with. Just because you forgive someone because they've sinned, if they keep sinning, you're not supposed to hang around them. The Bible says don't fellowship with people that live certain ways. It's very plain in the Bible who you should hang around with and who you should not, who you should eat with and who you should not eat with, and who you should be friends with and not be friends with. Now, we minister to everybody, but we don't necessarily hang around everybody. It's very quiet in here. See, forgiveness is not what we think it is. A lot of times we think forgiveness is acting like something never happened. No, it happened. We know it happened, but we don't hold that. Now, if we want restoration in a person's fellowship and relationship, then they're going to have to repent of what they did. But I'm going to forgive them and let it go for my sake. You know, it's kind of like I heard Fred Price say this one time. I thought it was real good. He said, you know, if I walked in a neighbor's yard and opened up the gate to the front fence and walked up to the door, knocked on the door, and there's a dog in that yard, and he comes running up and barks and bites me. He said, you know, I'm going to forgive that dog. He's just doing what he does. He's a dog. He bites. That's his nature. But I'm not going back in that yard. Are you with me? I don't hate the dog. I'm not mad at the dog. But, you know, the dog's, if I go back in, he's going to bite me again. I'm not going to go back in there again. Now, if the dog changed into a person, if the dog changed, are you out there? Then our relationship would change. Yeah, our fellowship in the sense that the way we deal with each other would change. You know, they're still sowing and reaping. You still reap what you sow. When a person repents of what they've done and they turn around from what they've done, yeah, there should be restoration. And we can get back to where we were and we can start over and all that. But if they don't and they don't change, they keep doing what they're doing, you need to let it go because you need to forgive because you've got to go on. But that doesn't mean you continue in the same relationship with a person if they're unrepentant of their sin. I mean, come on, even the Bible is very plain that if you're going to be an elder in a church, it has requirements. It doesn't say just forgive whatever they did. It says I need to be the husband of one wife and not given to much wine, not angry, not a brawler, not a fighter, you know, and always getting mad and upset and given to anger and so on and so forth. We can say, well, we're the church, we ought to forgive. But even the Bible has requirements that we should judge people in that sense. We don't hate people. We forgive people that do those things. But there are requirements for positions in God, and there are requirements for you to be blessed even. If you want to know the truth, there's no unconditional promise in the Bible. All of them have conditions. Even to be saved, you have to believe, don't you? Don't you have to come to Jesus and call on Jesus to be saved? I mean, he died for everybody, but you know, everybody doesn't go to heaven. Only those that come receive forgiveness. And even here he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I do believe Jesus in his heart forgave everyone on that cross. He held nothing against anybody. But now they didn't all receive it, and they didn't all benefit from it. But nothing they ever did to Jesus controlled his destiny or changed who he was, because he forgave. Wow, that's good stuff. That's really good stuff. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the way you feel. I think it's another misnomer about forgiveness. Some people think, well, I can't forgive them. And what they mean is they can't feel the same way about them. Well, God didn't ask you to feel a certain way about anybody. He asked you to act a certain way toward people. And he asked you to say certain things about people. He didn't say, feel a certain way. He said, say things and do things. See, living for God is about what you say and about what you do. It's not about what you feel. I mean, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. You know, alms, what is that? What is those two candy bars? I can't remember. Almond Joy makes you feel. And Mounds, okay, yeah. Well, that was a great point in my message. I'm glad we got that straight. But in life, you get up and you feel good one day, you don't feel good the next. You know, in life, you're excited about going to church one day, and you're not always excited about going to church every Sunday. Nobody's admitting it, but it's the truth. But you know it's the right thing to do. Sometimes you just can't wait to get to work. Sometimes you just wish you'd stay home and call in sick. You know, but going to work is how you get a paycheck. That's just the way it is. It's not a matter of feeling. It's just the right thing to do. I think you can develop feelings by habit. You can develop enjoyment of things when you accept them and realize the benefit of them. And you can change your feelings. Anything you feel can be changed. It can be changed, see. But God's not asking us to do that. He's asking us to do something, not feel something. Are you out there? To say something and act in a certain manner, not to feel in a certain way. Now, I don't feel forgiveness. Hello. Not all the time. I mean, there's sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. I don't always feel love. Hello. And just being decent and civil with people, I don't always feel that. Are you, y'all quit looking at me like I'm so mean. I'm just being transparent here. I'm just, sometimes I really feel it. Sometimes I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. Civil, decent. You know, I've said this many times, but how many times has somebody called you on the phone and you're sitting down in your favorite chair, drinking your glass of iced tea, watching your favorite show, Duck Dynasty or something, you know? Boy, that show has really come around the last few months. But anyway, you're watching your favorite television show and you're or reading your favorite book and everything. Life is good. It's comfortable. And the phone rings. And man, I'm thinking, you know, just destroy your paradise. Your Garden of Eden has now been interrupted. A tsunami has come through. The phone has rung. And you had just settled down. And that Starbucks coffee was just right. And life is good. God is on a throne, and everything is all right in the world. Ring. You're thinking, you have got to be kidding me. I just sat down. I just got my coffee, and the phone rings, and here we go again. You pick up, hello. Oh, not a thing? No? What's up? Hello. See, that's being civil. Are you with me? And decent. And that's the right thing to do. And you don't feel it when it happens. You do it because it's right. Isn't that right? I mean, if you were just say, well, I just tell it the way it is. I mean, if that's the way I feel, it's the way I feel. Well, you'd be chewing people out on the phones as you answered it half the time. I mean, you know, you have to calm down, settle down. And they don't know you're just got your Starbucks coffee. They don't know you just opened up your favorite book or Bible or whatever, you know, and so on and so forth. So, but it's being civil, it's being right, it's being decent, and it's committing your life to act a certain way and to say certain things. That's what God is asking us to do when he says to forgive. He's not asking you to feel. He never says, nowhere in here does he ever say feel a certain way. He asks you to forgive people. Jesus did it, we do it. Whether they turn around or not, I don't know. But I'm not going to let that get a hold of me. I'm not going to let that control me. I'm not going to let that turn me into something mean and hateful and ugly and evil and what God did not intend me to be. I'm going to let it go. Are you with me? And I'm going to go on. And hopefully they'll turn around. And actually, that'll help them turn around if I do forgive. Whether they do it or not, or whether they accept or not, or whether they ever do or not, I don't know. But I'm going to open the door for them to do that and close the door for what they did to change me. That's good stuff. Amen? This is the cry of the New Testament church. Forgiveness. This is what we do. We forgive people. Jesus forgave, and Acts 7 verse 60, Stephen, you know, the first martyr was Stephen. It was a terrible thing. I mean, he went through this great oration of the Old Testament. They had abducted him. He was one of the seven deacons of the New Testament church, a church of several thousand people, incidentally. In fact, 3,000 got saved one day, 5,000 got saved another day. And this is sometime after that. They had a big feeding program where they just fed widows. And it was so big they had to pick out seven men to take care of it. I mean, think about that. We talk about our food ministry and so on and so forth. They had a food ministry of just the widows. That was all it was to. And so they picked out seven men. One of those seven men was Stephen. And the Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost. And was known for miracles and wonders and great faith that he had exercised. And so the Jews got upset, abducted him, and he went through this long oration of the Old Testament, how God had, you know, moved through Moses and so on and so forth. And then he gets to Jesus, and, you know, he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Just like your fathers did, so do you," talking about Jesus, you know. And they weren't real happy about that, and they stoned him. But before he died, it tells us in the 60th verse, the 7th chapter of Acts, says he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Or he died, as it were, to the world, came alive to God. He said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He went on to say, and that's where his spirit went. That's where people go when they die that are Christians. They go to heaven. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? But I think it's significant that the last thing he said, "Lord, don't hold this sin to the charge. Don't let me hold you back from blessing them. Don't let me hold bitterness in my last breath here. I want to let that go, and I want to open that up for you, not to take vengeance on them for what they did to me, but I want them to be able to receive forgiveness. I don't want to be a hindrance to them turning around. I don't want to stop them from receiving your grace and your mercy by holding bitterness. Are you with me? I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to open up and forgive so they can be forgiven. One of those people standing there was Paul. That always amazed me. It's an amazing story. It says there was a young man there that they laid his clothes. They laid the clothes of Stephen down in front of a young man named Saul, who later became Paul, one of the greatest apostles of the New Testament. And I really believe because of what he did at that moment, he released that and added his faith to all the others that were probably praying, you know, for Paul. And Paul was able to receive forgiveness in his own life later on. Forgiveness is where everybody wins. Everybody say everybody wins. This is not football, you know, where if somebody wins, somebody's got to lose. Are you with me? I'm not going to talk about the Cowboys, okay? I don't even want to bring them up, okay? Because that's everybody loses, but that's another story altogether. But what God wants you to do is to forgive so everybody can win. So eventually even those that sinned against you can get right and win. And they can if they want to, because you're not holding it against them. And you're not going to block them from receiving from the Lord. You're not going to hate them. You may have feelings, but you're not going to act on those feelings. You have memories, and you can't get rid of memories. But you're going to pray for them. You're going to forgive them. You're not going to hold that against them. You're not going to let that continue in your life. You're going to let it go. You're going to get over it. We got to get over these things. And you can tell when you're over something, you're not constantly talking about it. And when someone brings that name up, you don't bring that thing up every time they bring that name up. 10 years later, 12 years later, 15 years later, 30 years later. Are you with me? You let it go. You know, there are cases where you really need to pray because you got some bitterness, you know. I know I've been there. I'm not pointing a finger at you. We're all in this together. But how do you know what I'm talking about? Somebody did something and, man, it just, you know, you're just hanging on to it. And it's hanging on to you and you're getting more bitter by the moment. And the more you think about that person or somebody talks about that person, boy, here it goes again. That thing, that poison in you starts, you know, I always think about, you know, Paul, he shook that snake off. He didn't hold on to that snake. He shook it off. Because the longer he held on to it, the more poison would have got in him. You know, it's not rocket science here. This stuff's really pretty simple. Sometimes we over-spiritualize everything. Let me give you some good common sense. If a snake grabs a hold of you, shake it off. That's deep, I know. But sometimes the snake of unforgiveness will grab a hold of you. And if you do not shake it off, it's going to infect you more and more and more and more. And the more of that poison gets in you, that unforgiveness, that bitterness gets in you, the more puffed up you get. And we can tell you puffed up. You hadn't let it go. It's still in you. Are you with me? As soon as the name comes up, here we go. The poison. You got to let it go. You got to get rid of it because it's going to ruin you. It's going to make you into a monster. Isn't that right? Nice people. I've seen nice people. They're just talking. Everything's just fine. And somebody's name comes up and, whoa, it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I mean, they've changed overnight. I've seen myself get that way. Those feelings start rising up, and I say, oh, boy, I'm mad. I'm hotter than a firecracker. Man, I'm just, whoo, because I did not let that go. If I would let that go, it wouldn't bother me. I wouldn't have to talk about it. Wouldn't have to bring it back up. You know, there's one minister I heard say this. He was in somebody's home. I think it was Keith Moore. He was at the minister's house, and he said the minister's son was there, and he'd a little kid, you know, and he came running up to him. He said, I was sitting on the couch, a little kid comes running up to me. He had a Band-Aid on his knee, and he said, hey, look what I did to my knee. And he just rips that Band-Aid off and shows him what happened to his knee. And when he did, he just ripped everything off. I'm not trying to be gross, but, you know, the scab and everything comes off. And he was just showing off this hurt, this pain that he'd, you know, this war wound, I guess, as it were. I scratched my knee, you know, typical kid. Hey, look at this scar, you know. And so he pulls that thing off, and he said he got a revelation when he did that. He said, that's the way we are as Christians, is every time we get around someone, we have to pull off that bandage and show them where we've been hurt. And every time we do that, we slow down the healing. We rip off the healing we had. Are you with me? We take the scab off that was trying to form and trying to get over the thing. But no, we won't let it go. We got to tell everybody about it. We got to show everybody. And then that thing just never does heal. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Oh, me or oh, my, or something, you know. But that's really what unforgiveness is like. It's like pulling off the healing that we got, pulling off the peace, the comfort. We finally got to a point where we got over it to a degree, but then we talk about it again, and we start the process back up again, and the pain comes, and the bitterness comes, and the devil gets in. Hello. And then we're not Mr. Nice Guy anymore. Woo. Wow. And here we have this mandate. We got Jesus forgiven. We got Stephen forgiving. And hopefully, you know, the people they forgave will repent. But, you know, it's not always about them repenting. It's about us getting right ourselves. St. Augustine said this great saying. I say it often. He said, if a bad man sins against you, forgive him, lest there be two bad men. Sometimes we become a bad person and we didn't do anything. Well, we did something. We didn't let it go. We did something we didn't forgive. We didn't originally sin. No, they sinned against us. But you know, that anger got in there. You ever watch those shows? And I'm not advocating this and not saying go watch. You can't help because they're all over TV if you're just flipping the channels. The old court show, Judge Judy. And there's several others. But if you ever flip by there, how they're so mad at each other. You know, and they're upset, and nobody wins. I mean, neither one. I don't care if one of them gets the money or wins the suit or whatever. They're both so mad and upset, and you can see it in their eyes, you can hear it in their voice, and I mean, two losers. That's what you got with unforgiveness. You got two losers. With forgiveness, you have for sure one winner and possibly two. Later down the road, it could be two. And sometimes it takes an effort to forgive. I mean, I understand that. I mean, some things are pretty serious. Some things are not simple. It's not like somebody, you know, taking the last piece of the pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving or the last piece of pecan pie. I actually did that this week. I took the last piece. I tell you, it's a weakness. I love pecan pie. I know I'm forgiven. I'm going to heaven. I'm glad for it because if it weren't for grace, I would not make it. I love pecan pie. But, you know, it may be something simple like that, but it could be something very, very seriously. It could be something involving money, finances. It could be something very, a death or so on. I mean, there are some serious issues in life, and I understand that. But, you know, God will help you do the right thing if you will commit to doing the right thing. If you will try, if you'll make the effort, if you'll say, God, I'm going to do this because you said it. In the name of Jesus, just let it come out of your mouth and pray. Pray every day till you get free is what you need to do. I've done it. It's taken me 30 days to get over some things. Literally. Literally 30 days to get over some things. I've had things that I've had to pray about every morning and every night for days and days to get it out of me, just to get it out of me. I don't want that. I don't want that in my head. I don't want that laying in bed at night thinking about how I'm going to get that person back. Thinking of all the bad things that could happen to that. No, I can't do that. I can't live like that. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And besides that, I'm a pastor. Hello. And sometimes I've needed some real help from God to get over, to really forgive people. But God's serious about this stuff. I mean, you know, he doesn't pull any punches. He said, when you stand praying, forgive so you can be forgiven. And I don't think that God parcels out forgiveness on a trade basis. That's not what he's saying. I think you're unable to be forgiven because you won't forgive. We're not. It's all by grace. It's not law. We don't have a law here, but there is cause and effect, and there is sowing and reaping. And if I'm going to live my life not forgiving people, I'm going to have a hard time being forgiven because I don't even know how to receive it because I have not been given it. And you only get what you give. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's not that God is holding back forgiveness. It's I'm keeping it from coming. I'm not receiving his forgiveness because I am not giving forgiveness. It's Not law. We're not talking about law here. Not under law. We're under grace. But grace still has to be received. Are you out there? So why would you let what somebody did to you continue? Because that's all you're doing. You're letting it grow and live and multiply and ruin your life. Not just the one-time instance. You're going to let this ruin your life, your whole life, because you won't let it go. When you stand praying, forgive. This is Mark 11, 25 and 26. Forgive that you might be forgiven. What about how many times I'm supposed to forgive my brother? What did Jesus say? 70 times 7. 490 times. I don't think it's necessarily somebody sinning against you 490 times and you forgive them 490 times. It's probably they sinned against you one time and you got to forgive them 490 times. Because it keeps coming back up and you got to forgive. I hardly ever forgive anybody once. Y'all out there? I mean, that old ugly devil stuck his head up again. Am I laying in bed at night? You know, I'm thinking, oh, God, here. I've forgiven him hundreds of times. You know, lots of people I've forgiven over and over. Because it doesn't always happen the first time. In my mind and in my heart, I'm trying to get it out of me. Are you with me? I forgive him 70 times 7. Forgive them over and over till you get free of the thing. You know, it's done when you do it. It's done when you say it. As far as God's concerned, but you don't have the luxury of holding on to that feeling. You don't have to feel it, but you do need to get over it. And the more you obey God, the more you will get over it and you will change your feeling. You'll get to a point where it doesn't bother you if you are serious about it and you're seeking God about it and you're really doing what God says to do. Amen? Won't happen the first time, second time, third time, but you hang in there, it's going to happen. Amen? Woo! Man, this is good preaching. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Y'all settle down. You're making so much noise. I'm having a hard time preaching because you're so excited. Hallelujah. No, these things, you know, are really where the rubber meets the road. It's not always exciting when we talk about it, but it's got to be talked about. It's something you deal with. Anybody ever had something happen to you need to forgive? Come on. That's got to be everybody in here. Has anybody been hurt by something that you held on to? That's got to be everybody in here. These are real issues. See, this is life. Life is like this. Life is rough. We're not in heaven. We're going to heaven. But we can bring some heaven down here on earth. We're born to bring heaven to this earth. God commands us to do it. Amen? He didn't make a suggestion. Hey, I got an idea. No, he says forgive. That's just the thing to do. That's the standard. That's the example we have in Jesus. And that's the example we have in Stephen. And over all throughout the scripture. Hey, I'm saved by grace. I know that. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. No question about that. God's trying to make our life a little better down here. I don't believe he's saying if you don't forgive, you won't go to heaven. That's not what he means. You just won't be forgiven, you know, for the sins that you commit and things that you do. And you'll pay the price for a lot of things that you do that the mercy of God could cover and get rid of if you just get right and quit being so mean. Hello. Quit being so hateful. You know, these are very serious things. They involve family members. They involve, you know, close relatives and close neighbors. And, you know, there are families that won't talk to each other because of something that went on in their life. Years go by, don't even communicate, don't even talk. I've been to funerals. I preach funerals where half the family's on one side and half's on the other side, and they won't even look at each other. I'm thinking, you know, mama just died, and they can't even talk to each other. Because something happened, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Let me tell you something, that's not right. I don't care what it was, you got to forgive. And maybe they won't both get right, but you don't need to be a part of that. If you're in the middle of that, you need to let it go. You get on your knees, you need to pray for your brother and your sister, your mama, your dad, your whatever it is, your son, your daughter. You need to pray and believe God for some way to reconcile that thing and make the effort. If they don't respond, they don't respond, but you cannot hold on to that. You cannot afford that luxury. You're playing around with the devil's tools, the devil's tactics, and the devil's strategies. This is one of his big tools. Unforgiveness is huge. It has separated people. It has separated businesses. It has separated marriages. It has separated families. It has separated churches. It has separated close friends. because of something that happened that nobody would forgive. Nobody would make the step. Nobody would make the effort and ruin good relationships, good friends, good futures. I don't want to be a part of that. Are you with me? You know, people come and go into church, and Brent and I are real always careful to keep the door open. I don't care why people leave, whatever reason they leave, good, bad, indifferent. Sometimes it's legitimate. Sometimes they're just mad. I'm not going to be mad because I want to see them come back in that door one day, and I don't want to hold anything against them. And sometimes that's hard to do. Are you with me? Because we're family, and you know, things hurt. Come on, where you stick us, we bleed. Come on, we're human, you know. But I don't want to stop or hinder God, the process of restoration and forgiveness and grace and in someone's life because I am bitter or because I locked the door and closed the door. Listen, I don't care what anybody's done. I really don't. If they've done something, they repent of it, come on, we'll take you. I don't want to hate homosexuality so much that I hate the homosexual. I don't want to hate abortion so much that I hate the woman that committed the abortion. If someone turns around, we'll take them. If a homosexual repents, they can come to this church. If an adulterer repents, they can come to this church. Are you with me? If a liar repents, now everybody say repents. Okay, if they turn around, whatever they did is the past. Now they can't come and continue in that sin and do that because that's wrong. And the Bible's plain about that, and we're plain about saying that. I'll never be a time, no matter what the government says, I can say or don't say as a pastor, I'll never stand in this pulpit and not speak against sin. Because that's what I'm supposed to do. But I'm also supposed to speak for the sinner and speak in love. We don't hate homosexuals. We don't hate abortionists. We don't hate liars. We don't hate adulterers. We don't hate gossipers. We don't hate overeaters. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. What now? Wait a minute. Now I've gone too far. But anyway, but if anybody repents, they can come. Anybody. Are you out there? That's a terrible thing to say Thanksgiving season and overeater. I should have left that one alone, just leave that out of the picture altogether. But the point is, we are against sin, and there are some things that are right, and there are some things that are wrong, period. But we're not haters. We don't hate people that sin. Come on, I don't hate. I'm a forgiver. I'm a lover. I'm not a hater. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But I stand up for what is right and what is holy, what is just. Amen? And I preach the right way. I don't preach sin. I preach holy living. Amen. Thank God for holy living. Amen. I don't preach you have to live holy to go to heaven. I can't be holy enough to go to heaven. I'm not saying that. But if you want to live, you want a good life, you need to live holy. If you want lasting friends, you need to live holy. If you want a marriage that lasts, you need to be holy and true to each other. If you want relationships and businesses that prosper and make it, then you need to be honest and have integrity. You don't need to be lying. See, if you want, living holy helps you live a good life. I can't live holy enough to go to heaven. Jesus paid the price for my sin. There's no way I'm going to heaven except for what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. I know that. But he also set an example for me to follow as a Christian. And one of the greatest things he did was to forgive. Man, the worst thing in the world anybody could do, kill him. And he forgave him as he's dying. And Stephen does the same thing. Now, I don't know what somebody did to you. I know what people have done to me. But I need to forgive and you need to forgive. Amen? Hey, one verse we'll close this out. 2 Corinthians 2. Is this helping anybody? Amen. Kind of serious today. I didn't mean to be so serious. But evidently, y'all just must really be bitter about something. I don't know as the case. If it is, shoe fits, wear it. Anyway, 2 Corinthians, let's close out with this. Everybody say forgiveness. Okay, does this help you understand a little bit about forgiveness? Because I think some people say forgiveness, they think you've got to feel a certain way or continue to fellowship with someone that sinned against you. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible talks about fellowship, and there's certain things that would mean that you should not fellowship with certain people that are doing certain things, all right? That's just understood. And if you sin in a position in a church or in a business or anything, you don't just continue to do what you're doing. There are consequences to sin. If somebody steals money in a company, you don't need to continue to have them as the treasurer or the accountant. Are you with me? You forgive them. There are laws concerning that. We ought to go with legal system and use it. I think people on death row, I think we should, if they actually accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and they repent of their sin, well, I think we should forgive them. But you know what? The law is the law. We should carry out the sentence because the law's there. The law is of God. The powers that be are of God. And someone who is stolen and robbed and they're in the jail, I don't think you ought to just let them out of jail because they get saved. I think we ought to thank God they're saved. We ought to forgive them for what they did. But there are penalties and consequences of what they did, and they need to carry out the sentence, as it were. Are you with me? I don't see a conflict there at all. That's just sowing and reaping. But nobody's holding any bitterness. No one's holding any hate. We're letting that go. But you can't just go through life and just keep doing something wrong without consequences. Are you out there? You say, well, I don't think that's right. I think if you forgive me, you ought to act like it didn't happen. What did Jesus do on the cross? Let's go back to that a moment. Did he forgive everybody? Did he? Is everybody going to heaven? No. Because everybody didn't turn around. Are you out there? So you can see forgiveness doesn't mean everybody's off the hook that did anything wrong. It just means that the person that was sinned against lets it go. And the door's open for the person to turn around. Okay. The dog bites you, don't go back in the yard. But don't live your life hating that dog and thinking of ways that you're going to kill that dog and poison that dog and sneak in there at night and get rid of that dog or torture that dog or make it hurt because it hurts you. Let it go. It's just a dog. Dogs bite. That's what they do. Sinners sin. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2:10. Let's close this out. Oh, man. 2 Corinthians 2:10. To whom you forgive anything, this is Paul speaking, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes I forgave it in the person of Christ. I love that. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Whoa, that's pretty strong stuff. What he's saying here is that Satan's device or strategies, that's another word for that strategy. Unforgiveness is a strategy, a device of Satan. And what happens is he gets an advantage over us when we don't forgive. He gets a place in our lives. He gets a foothold in our lives. I don't want the devil in my household. I don't want the devil in my marriage. I don't want the devil in my church. I don't want the devil in my relationships. I'm going to have to forgive, or I'm going to give him that advantage. He'll get his foot in, and then he starts working on us. Because we will not let it go. And if we just let it go, there's hundreds of other things that will never happen if we'll just let it go. He won't get that first foothold. He won't get that first open door. We'll shut that door and close that door because unforgiveness is a device of the devil. And when God says forgive, he knows what he's talking about. Are you with me? We need to do it because he doesn't want the devil ruling us and running us and ruining us and messing our lives up. Hallelujah.